Welcome to Section 9, where we talk about IT and information security. I'm Damian Hall.
And I'm Dorothy. And today we're going to be talking about Google and their two-step verification process. One of the things that we did to try to secure our accounts was to add the two-step verification process. And as we kind of went along and are trying to develop the documentation for this, we realized that there were some issues if somebody were to steal our phone or if we lose it. So that was our concern. So why don't you, before we get into some of the things that we've been looking at, why don't you explain how the two-step verification process works? Like what happens?
Right. So two-step verification is slightly different than two-step authentication or two-factor authentication. So I'm going to put some links in the show notes that talks about the differences between the two, because it's kind of, I went and looked at the differences between verification and authentication. And while they're very similar, they're different. And I had a hard time trying to understand what those differences really were. So again, I'm going to put some links in the show notes, and I'm still learning about that whole process. But just know that when you set this up, for us anyway, when we set this up, I go to my Gmail account, and then when I log in with my username and password, I get a notification on my iPhone through the Gmail app, and it has a yes or no question on there. Yes, this is me. No, this is not me. If it's not me, it prevents the person from logging in. So let's say, for example, a hacker is trying to get in. They use my username and password. My phone is going to get that notification. That second verification process is happening. And so it's going to make it very difficult for the hacker to get in because they don't have access to that second factor.
Yeah, because you can say, no, it's not me, so don't log in. So here was the issue. What if the hacker has our phone?
Right. Now, I'm not worried about the hacker getting in because they would have to have the passcode to my phone to be able to do that. And then the fact that they have, you know, my username and password and all that, or you would have to know a combination of things, have my phone, log into the, so much stuff that the person's going to have to, right, to do to break into my account. But the real issue here is, what happens if I lose my phone? I don't have it anymore. So how do I get into my Gmail account? So why don't you talk about the process of setting up two-factor verification? Because you were looking at this and you actually know more about this than I do.
Right. Okay, so in order for you to be able to have this, you have to turn on the two-step verification. So the way you do that is you can go into https://myaccount.google.com/security. Once that you're there, you want to turn on your second step or your two-step verification. Is going to ask you to enter your password to make sure that it's you. And at this point, once that you enter the password and press enter, you're going to go into a screen where they'll have all sorts of options for you to choose for that second step verification. So one of the things that you can do, you can choose to get the code sent to you via text message, or you can have them call you and tell you the code on the phone. You can use Google Authenticator app, which is kind of a nice choice because one of the assets about that part of it is that you can access it even if you don't have Wi-Fi. If you're offline, you're actually able to get your codes as well. You can also use a security key. You can add a backup phone number of someone you trust, and the codes could be sent to them. You can create backup codes, and you can register trusted devices to where when you do that, when you register the trusted devices, you don't have that two-factor authentication because they're probably at your house or, you know, you have the device with you or what have you. So it's not going to ask you. You can say, don't have this device, ask me for the second step verification part of it. So you can get in that way.
Yeah, and the thing that we didn't do or didn't do well is that we didn't have a backup option. Mm-hmm. So when you set this up, and this is why we're doing this all over again and looking into the options, is because what we need is to add in a second option. Like if the first one, our phones, isn't available to us, well, what do? Right now we have nothing. Well, we do now because what we chose to do is set up the code. So what we went into the settings that you talked about, and then we had it generate 10 codes for us.
So actually what Google does, there is an option on that page that you get in after you put in your password and you turn on your two-step verification. And under the option that says backup codes, if you've never set them before, you'll have a little button that says set them up, right? And if you have them, they'll have a button that says show codes. But basically what you do is you click either button. You know, if you don't have them, you'll do the setup button. If you have them, you can do show the codes. But anyway, it will set up 10 random codes for you. And then it gives you a choice of either printing them or downloading them. And we chose to print them because for me to download them, I still don't feel real secure on that.
The download thing is kind of, I don't think there's any kind of security issue depending on where you download them to. The issue that I have with the download part is that it's going to be, I mean, you could download it to, let's say, like a workstation, to have it on a workstation. So when I log into my workstation, I have my codes, I use the code to get into my Gmail. But then what happens if I'm not next to my workstation? So what we chose to do is to print them, and then what we're going to do is keep one copy. It actually prints out two copies, so you can have those copies in different locations. So one copy might be at home, one copy I keep in my wallet. So if I lose my wallet, the next question is, well, can somebody use those codes to get in?
Well, two things. Actually, once you use the code, it's inactive. And second of all, if I lose my codes, you can go into that shows the codes button, and then you can generate more. So, and once that you generate the second 10 set of codes, it inactivates all the previous ones. So for me, if I lose them, I'm going to regenerate 10 more.
Yeah, and even if you don't have time to regenerate new ones, let's say, for example, you're on a trip, you don't know when you lost them, somebody could actually have them, who cares? They still have to know your username and password. So eventually what you're going to end up doing is making those codes invalid, because there's nothing on the piece of paper that says whose codes these belong to. Now, maybe they can kind of sort of figure that out from other things that are in your wallet, maybe your ID, but I'm still looking at that as a much better option than nothing at all, because it's still going to be very difficult for somebody to try to get in. They need to know your email address, your password, and then they can use the code.
Yeah, and you know, we look at the other options, and part of the reason why we didn't use them is because we have questions or concerns, and we haven't done enough research to know how solid they really are. And the codes sounded like one of the best options, you know, under the circumstances, would you say? But at the end of all this, we're going to test this on an actual account. We're going to set up a test account. We're actually going to configure it with the different options. And then we're going to pretend that we lost the phone or, you know, device or whatever. And then we're going to try to get in, and we'll have probably something better to report after that. You know, right now we're in the infancy of doing the research and trying to figure it out. So our concern is we needed to have at least one way to obtain access to our Gmail account if something were to happen.
Yeah, and the other one that we're thinking about using, and we haven't done it yet, and I think the way in which we have it configured now is that our own phones are in there as backup. Problem is what happens when you lose your phone? Your second backup option is gone then. So we have the codes plus the phone, which is wrong. So what we're thinking about doing is we share that with each other.
Right.
Like you be my backup, I be your backup. And that way, if for some reason you lose your wallet and your phone, like maybe your whole bag got lost. Well, in that scenario...
Or you have a fire or there's a flood. You never know.
Right. So in that scenario, you can call me and say, hey, I'm going to have them generate the code. It's going to send to your phone. Just be aware. When you get the code, let me know so I can get my Gmail.
Right.
Or if we're together and I have my stuff and you don't,
you can just hand me your phone and with a code and I can enter it.
Yeah. And so the thing that's really important to talk about when you're talking about adding security to things is, how does that process work? Because like you said, we don't understand all the options yet. And if you don't understand the options and you go to implement one, well, what's the consequence of doing that? You know, if I forget my password, it can be reset maybe. Because if you're in an enterprise environment, somebody may be able to reset the password for you. But you have to be careful how you implement certain things. Because like in our case, if we lose our phone, we can't get in. And so now we have a backup process. We have our codes that'll let us in. So just be aware, and it has to be a process. One of the things that I've talked about before is encryption. A lot of times people say, "Ooh, encryption's really good." Well, hold on a minute. If you lose your encryption key or the passphrase to unlock the key and use the key, you're never going to get your data back.
Well, one of the things that they, when I was doing the research, they talk about is not to do the voice verification, because then if you don't have your phone, you can't do the voice verification. So how are you going to do that? It says, you know, it was one of the things, one of the quickest way to basically log yourself out for good.
Yeah. And so when you think about these different processes, whether it's just an IT process or something like this, where we're talking about second factor verification or two-factor authentication, you need to make sure you understand these things and you understand the consequence of implementing that. What's your backup? How are you going to get out of that situation if the one thing that you use to do your authentication is not there? You know, we have a process for remembering our passwords. It's in LastPass. So I can go to another machine. I can go to the LastPass website. I can log in. But then again, we also have the dual second factor authentication process for LastPass. So now we have to go through that process of figuring out, what do I do when I lose my phone and I can't get my LastPass, because Duo is going to send that second factor authentication request to my phone, which I don't have. These are things that don't necessarily require a technical piece to it. It's all about process. It's all about, how do I use the available options? Like we talked about the Google ones, you know, phone, text message. You know, there's all these different options you have.
Authentication app.
Right. There's all these different options you have. How do you use those in a way that's going to be safe and secure for you and your organization?
Without locking yourself out.
Without locking yourself out. Yeah. And a lot of times people don't talk about these things. They just implement them. And then when somebody gets locked out, oh, well too late now.
And the majority of people are not implementing it, which, you know, it's a nice feature. And I think that if we research it well enough and we understand what each option means and what it does, you know, it's something nice that we can add, you know, as long as we do have a plan of what if worst case scenario happens, can I get back in?
Exactly. And it has to be a process that everybody agrees to so that everybody is on the same page. If somebody else is doing something different, well, when they lose their device, so sad. You can't get into your stuff because you didn't tell us what you were using. You didn't share that with the rest of us. So now we're not there to help you. We can't help you. You have a process that doesn't fit the rest of us. So we can't, you know, we're not your backup. You don't have the codes. There's a lot of things that you have to make sure works for your organization, and everybody has to be on the same page. Yeah. Anything else you want to add to this? Because I think that this is a process that we have something that works. It's not perfect. We have to look at the other options. Like you said, you're going to do some testing with a Gmail account, a separate one from the one you have now. And we're going to figure out what some of these options mean. Because when we were going through them,
It's not a really good, clear explanation about what they do sometimes. You know, they simplify them in certain ways, and then they omit some things that I think, for one, maybe critical to know, you know. So the part where you ask me a question, I'm like, oh, I don't know. Now I got to research that. And this is one of the things that the more you research, the more options and things come up. So you really kind of have to really make a plan to test what you're going to be using. And for us right now, we had an emergency issue. We needed to make a choice. I think we made the best choice.
Yeah, we have a process. We still need to document that process so we have it written down so that when, you know, months later, we can go back to that and we can say, oh, yeah, we were supposed to be doing this. So we're going to have our codes in our wallet. We're going to change the phones so that we can be each other's backup in case we lose our codes and our phone. And so those are some things that, again, you just have to think about when you implement something like second factor verification, two-factor authentication, or anything in security, because you may be in a situation where you lock yourself out of your own information or your email.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I may be doing the Google one, but you're going to have to do the LastPass. What happens if we can't have access to LastPass? when all our passwords are stored there, bank accounts, everything else. So you need to come up with a backup process that we can get into that.
Yeah, and that one is going to be more difficult because it's two things. It's LastPass plus Duo.
Exactly.
So how do I get Duo?
Well, Duo would be the second step verification factor, except it's authentication instead of verification.
Right. And so you're going to have a backup for that. Or how do you, you know, there's so many different things to the process that we just don't know yet.
Yeah.
Because we haven't talked about that. We haven't looked at the options like we are for Gmail.
Well, it's so much to look at, you know.
It's a lot. I mean, we literally spent most of a day looking at this. And you'd already looked at it before thinking that, oh, I got this figured out. And then when I started asking you questions, it's like, oh, okay.
Well, that and the fact that I thought there were three options only, which is what they initially said. And then it ended up there were way more than that. I didn't know you could use the security key. And I didn't know about this authentication app. And I didn't, you know, and it was like, exhausting. But it's the nature of IT. Sometimes you set out to do something that you think is going to be really simple, like choosing an option that is going to be clear cut so you can get in. And 2, 3, 4 hours later, you're still trying to figure out, oh my goodness, there isn't enough research yet to make an informed decision to be able to implement something that we're comfortable with.
Yeah, we have a process, like I said, we're comfortable with it. We still have to tweak it a bit because we need to do our phone thing. And yeah, you just make sure that you have a process in place to get you out of these kind of situations. And you need to be thinking about these kinds of situations so you can plan for them. But I think that's it for now. If you want to ask us a question, you can email us at info@section9.us. And if you want to take a look at the show notes, you can go to osnap.section9.us. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.